thank you for this day, for truly it is another day that you made.
Hallelujah.
And we don't take it for granted. Lord, we just ask that you have your way in this class. We invite the teacher to sit in and teach us.
Yes.
And Father, we demand in the name of Jesus that the part of us that needs to pay attention pays attention. That, Lord, nothing would be lost, because in you all is gained. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Well, do you know that whatever God is, we become? Think about that. That's pretty exciting. I mean, if you don't get excited over that, you don't get a fire under you over that, your wood's wet.
Yeah. And whatever you give yourself to, you
think. That's right. Right. But whatever God is, we are going to become one way or the other. We may take a detour off the Slauson cutoff, or we may do this, but we will come back on track, and we will become what he wants us to become.
Yeah.
So, the scripture, it's the same scripture we had last week, Psalms 86:15, but thou, O Lord, we're talking about the priesthood. We're talking about our kingly priesthood that after the order of Melchizedek, and we're just talking about something we can put shoe leather to. Last week we talked about compassion. This week we're going to talk about long-suffering. But this is who God is. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. That's us. We are getting to that point where we're going to be full of compassion. And gracious and long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. So what is God? God is love, right? I mean, all those things, if you put them all together, add this, add compassion, add graciousness, add long-suffering, add plenteous in mercy, and add truth, equals love. Okay, so I'm gonna read this, so just listen intently, because it's really good, and it is from the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're talking about priesthood. It says here, there can be no priesthood without first a thorough change. That is why the souls who sit on thrones and reign as priests with Christ are those who are of the first resurrection. We all know what that is, right? The first resurrection. Everybody know what the first resurrection is?
Where you had it? Is that Brother Lee?
Huh? Yeah. Page 5, the last paragraph.
Yeah, okay.
When Jesus rose from the dead.
Right. That's we were crucified with him, we were buried with him, and now we were resurrected with him. Okay? So that is the first resurrection. Their soul life has been quickened, made alive, purified, purged, perfected, made one in union with the Spirit. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Sin, self, ego, greed, prejudice, hatred, bigotry, criticism, retaliation, unconcern, insensitivity, immaturity, pettiness, and unrighteousness will all be dealt with. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and they shall be priests of God. So we got to take part in that, folks. You know, resurrection is life. So when people see us, they got to see life in us. They got to, you know, we talk about vibrations. You know, there's a vibration. Anywhere there's energy, there's vibration. And, you know, you ever heard someone talk about, man, when that lady comes in the room, just lights up the whole room. She has a very high vibration, and it's contagious, just like enthusiasm and all that. Just like someone who's a Debbie Downer. If you ever been around a Debbie Downer, it's like you want to very lovingly get out of the room.
Right.
Because the vibration gets real low. Go ahead.
Actually, I very lovingly want to shut them up. Sometimes they don't know the truth. Sometimes they don't know the truth, and they're in captivity.
Right.
I mean, we got to, like what Brother Shepherd said, we got to see what the Spirit's saying through them.
That's right.
I mean, it might be a cry in the wilderness.
We got to help them raise their vibration. And when we do that, guess what? You'll see a smile on their face.
Yes, you will.
Once in a while. Hopefully a lot more than once in a while.
Well, our Debbies aren't like that.
Yeah.
You're right.
We are not seeking just a salvation experience.
Amen.
That's right.
Sins forgiven, covering over of the past, hoping for the best in the future. But we desire that the Holy Spirit of God, working mightily within our soul, shall bring a change in us. You know, I just got to say this. I feel sorry for people that 30, 40 years they've been in the Lord and in a religion or a denomination or something, and there's been no change in their beliefs. There's been no change in their personality. There's been no change. And why do you think that? Out of fear in most cases. They're told, oh, stay away from that person. They believe in spiritual gifts. Or stay away from that person. Oh my gosh, yeah, we believe in spiritual gifts, but they like take it to a whole nother level, and they're in this kingdom now stuff. I mean, they want to put titles and names on things. I'm on page 6.
Which
I don't know.
Is that EB's paper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Page 6, and it's 226. Okay. All right, so, I feel sorry for them because God has opened it up to them to a much deeper, much more intimate relationship, which includes stuff that maybe you didn't believe 30 years ago when you first got saved. You know, maybe you don't, maybe it sounds too good to be true. Well, guess what? It's not. God is love. And it's not, His love is limitless. And if you're going to talk about fear and you're going to talk about control, and you're going to look, there's no love in that. There's no love in that. So guess what? We want to, whatever God does, we want to always measure it up to love. If it's love, it's God. If it's not love, if it's fear, if it's control, if it's not God. But love is God. Okay, let me finish this. Okay. Every word, will, attitude, desire, emotion, action, and reaction shall flow from His heart to all about us. You can be a believer and die and go to heaven with such a thorough change, without such a thorough change, but you can never be a priest without it. You can speak in tongues, prophesy, see visions, fall out under the power, and be a deacon, pastor, or perhaps even an apostle. Without such a thorough change, you can never be a priest without what we're talking about here. If you have received the call to the royal priesthood, then God is very practically in working, that's the word there, in working, it's from the inside out, into your life, something of a priestly nature, life, and heart. It works right here and now in the nitty-gritty of everyday living. That's where you see it. You push a grape too much, and it explodes, doesn't it? More and more you have the disposition of a priest in all your associations and dealings. Priesthood is a spirit of the high priest. And who's the high priest?
Jesus.
Right. Jesus lives and loves us and has himself cleansed us in his own blood. He bestows upon us the disposition of priesthood by his indwelling life. His indwelling is but the first step, then follows the inworking. So you got the indwelling, then you got the inworking, by which we become that which he is. The spirit of priesthood is love. Love is the queen of all the graces of the Christ life. Love is the passion of self-giving. It never stops to ask what it can afford or what it may expect to receive in return, but it is ever shedding its heart's blood. It will pine to death if it cannot give. The love of Christ, which went out so tenderly to those who walked and talked with him when he was upon the earth, is no less far-reaching and all-powerful to us. It is the fathomless love of Christ which conquers, and his all-conquering, boundless love is the banner unfurled in the lives of his kingdom priests. O precious love divine, higher than the heavens, deeper than the abyss, broader than all the ages of time, O mighty love that reached through the countless ages and brought Christ down from the bosom of the Father to redeem creation, which brought him to the cross, which brought him to the tomb, which brought him forth and raised him up to the right hand of God as the high priest of the heavens, whoever liveth to make intercession for us, which is to come again in us, and now shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's good, isn't it?
You lost your screen up here, brother.
I did?
Yeah.
There it is. Okay, so, we took compassion. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about love again, but we're going to talk about long suffering. Okay. As you have grown in Christ, do you see yourself? I mean, long suffering means patience, it means endurance, it means perseverance. I like this one because I've never heard it really said this way. With long enduring temper. We've seen people with short tempers, haven't we? So this one is a long enduring temper. Slow to anger. Patience is an attitude of mind characterized by poise, inner calmness, and quiet endurance. Especially in the face of trying conditions. Patience has its foundation in faith and is perfected only in those who have unwavering faith in God. And of course, James 1:3, the proving of your faith worketh patience. We're going to get to some other scriptures, but the question I want to ask you is this. You know, everybody here has been at the feet of the Lord, walking with him for many, 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 many years. Would you say that you are more patient now than you were last year, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago?
Can we deal in minutes? You guys, none of you drove? None of you got here by driving?
Okay. That's a good that's a good segue into my story. I don't want to spend a lot of time with a, you know, story here, but this really fits. God spoke the word patience to me on Monday. Okay?
And then he tried to.
Oh, wait to hear the story. Wait to hear the story. It is beyond, you can't even imagine. I mean, okay, so Wednesday, you know, she's going to give a testimony at church, but Wednesday we went to the clinic.
Mercy's
Women's Center. They found a mass in her right breast, and so she had to go through all that, and she went from this test to this test, and in the middle of the thing that she's crying, I couldn't even go into the waiting room, much less be with her. I hate that, but anyway, so I'm in the lobby, and so she's crying, saying they found something, and I'm like, you know, I'm just praying in tongues right out loud, man. I mean, I didn't care. And so anyway, all said and done, you know, at this time she has no cancer. Again, she'll give you the whole story, but that was one, okay? But that, after that, we went to change our phone provider.
Patience.
We were in there.
You need patience.
This is the gospel truth. We were in there over 4 hours dealing with someone that we were telling them, because Julie called the night before, what plan we wanted. They didn't even know this plan existed.
Or the promotion.
What this promotion was, they didn't know this promotion existed. And I should have listened to my wife. She says, we need to leave now. And I said, well, let's give this guy, you know, I'm trying to be Mr. Patient here. Let's give this guy a chance, you know.
You didn't appreciate that, Julie.
I said, let's give this guy a chance, you know. So anyway, he put us on the wrong plan.
Yeah.
He overcharged us. She missed the job interview because of this. What else?
He charged someone else's purchase on our visa.
Oh, my gosh.
He charged someone else's purchase on our visa. I've been on the phone with them for probably another 2 hours trying to work it all out. Okay, I'm trying to make this. It was a lot worse than what it sounds, trust me.
It sounds real bad.
Yes, it does.
But anyway, so then we're supposed to have a bed delivered on Thursday. Okay, they said, well, you're not going to get your bed until Saturday. Okay, I mean, I was a little disappointed, but Saturday, yesterday was our anniversary, and this was our anniversary present to each other, so we wanted to make sure it was there for anniversary. So anyway, they come and deliver it, and they tell us at the store, some sales pitch or whatever, I don't know if it's true or not, they said, if you don't have this certain bed cover.
It's a mattress cover.
Mattress cover. You will void your warranty. Well, the warranty is 10 years, and then they do something lifetime. So, you know, in other words, it's the best warranty we could find, and that's one of the reasons we got it. So they deliver everything yesterday, no mattress pad. Okay?
And you had ordered it?
Oh, yeah, we paid for it. It was paid for.
Yeah.
They had three weeks to get that pad in, mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. So the guys delivering said they never gave us a pad. So I call up there, I go, can someone run the pad over? You know, well, I don't know. Let me have you talk to your salesman. In other words, plan stupid, because there was no pad there. After 3 hours of waiting for a return phone call that never came, we drove to the store. Our salesman had just left. I made three calls for him to return the call. He left, and I said, we're here to pick up our pad. We don't have any pad here for a king-size bed. So I said, well, what about this warranty? Oh, well, if you sleep on it one night, it's not going to hurt the warranty.
Yeah, I know you didn't sleep on it, though, did you?
We did, because we had nowhere else to sleep.
We had to use our mattress pad from our old bed.
So anyway, let me tell you something. We were tested all week. And did I, you know, tell them where it was, where it's coming from? And was I calm? Yes. Was I cool? Maybe. Did I swear? No. It was like, okay, so when are we going to get our pad? We don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, patience.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, honestly, if God hadn't given me that word on Monday, I might not have acted as patiently as I did, because, you know, think about it. I mean, we wasted, I can't tell you how many, I spent probably 2 more hours on the phone with the cell provider. So that's six plus hours. So anyway, let's go back to that definition.
Long suffering, endurance.
Patience, endurance, perseverance, with long enduring temper, slow to anger, an attitude of mind characterized by poise, inner calmness, and quiet endurance, especially in the face of trying conditions. Patience has its foundation in faith, and it is perfected only in those who have unwavering faith in God. Think about that. I tell you, the old rich back, I've been following the Lord 35 years. You go back 38 years, they probably would have called the police. I mean, but anyway.
You would have told them to take the bed back.
Well, I needed a bed. I didn't want to sleep on the floor. Okay. So let's talk just a second about any comments that y'all want to make right now.
I have patience, more patience in some situations.
Oh, yeah, but back to my question. Yeah,
yes,
thank you.
And not so much in others. And it's easier to be impatient with your family, I found.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they got to...
Oh, that's true.
They got to take you anyway.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I mean, the trials and tribulations keep coming no matter where your walk is. It doesn't matter.
Oh, it's not going to stop.
It's never going to end. That's kind of my conclusion at this point.
I think we ought to understand the word and why it says long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Because God knows it's going to be a long-suffering.
Yeah.
I mean, his understanding is he already seen it. Therefore, you can take it that he's the one who wrote it. He meant it for our good. And then after long suffering, he wants the fruit of the Spirit to come on out of that.
Right.
And he's telling you that because you represent him. It's no longer I that liveth, but him that liveth in me.
That's right.
And you think you don't get to prove that every day?
Yep.
As a matter of fact, we might as well say in every breath. You were talking about hours. Well, July the 1st, which was our anniversary, I was in the hospital, and I figured out after I came home, which I was in there about a week, that I spent 2 days that I didn't need to be in there.
Ooh.
Wow.
And I knew it.
Oh, man.
And, I mean, when they're doing everything through an IV to run the test, and then they don't hook the IV up, that's one night gone. Then when they do hook the IV up and it's hooked up wrong, so it'll go in slower, and then they come in and check it and it doesn't go in at all from 9 o'clock at night till the next day. When they change a new IV for you, that's another day. You know, and then of course, I mean, how do I want to say it? I had patience enough to appreciate the people that were working with me, my nurse and the people that took my blood and stuff like that. And I don't want to say it took a lot of God for me not to bring that up, especially when we got our bill. Mm-hmm. But just to give you an example, I had a doctor come in the next morning, look right at the IV, and it's laying next to me. It's not in me, it's laying next to me. What's that doing there? That's supposed to have been in you last night.
Oh,
I go like, okay, that's one. And then I'm not complaining, I'm just telling the story. And then the next thing is that. The person that was supposed to take my blood that morning, they did not schedule them to take my blood. But she came in at 5 a.m. I said, well, they meant to. So she said, according to your word, I'm going to go ahead and take it. And then she came back in 5 minutes later. She said, I just got the orders to take it. They just remembered. They forgot.
Okay.
She said, but you're going to have the answer within 30 minutes. So a lot of these...
Tell us what hospital that is.
I'd go there in a heartbeat. But the whole thing is, it's God working on us, not just them, on us.
Oh, it's definitely
to prove to the world we're not a people of reaction. We're a people of action. Action, you get to live your faith. Reaction, you just live it when you want to.
It's easier to have patience in an email than it is on the telephone because you can edit.
Yes.
You know,
can take a deep breath.
Yes.
You can wait an hour before you
send it. Well, I probably shouldn't say that. And, you know, would that we could do that as we're speaking. And, you know, I pray the Lord touch me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you quoted it in James. We're supposed to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear. I taught the kids for years and the other kids for years that are all adults now to where swift to hear is not hearing yourself. Mm-hmm. Swift to hear is hearing what God's saying to you the moment that things are happening to you.
Yeah.
So you will have the right response. To have the right response means that you had to have patience to wait. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And when you do that, I mean, come on, let's face it. If you're going down the highway, and I'm not pointing no fingers, that and you're speeding, if the cop pulls you over, come on. Why get mad at the cop?
Right.
You're the one on the gas pedal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that don't make sense.
Right.
I mean, really, I'm just being honest with you. I'm not trying to make fun of that. It's just that we act like sometimes when we accept the Lord, we act like now we're not accountable. That's one of the biggest lies. Yeah, but we know that because of the Lord alive within us.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that don't have the relationship we have that believe that once they accepted the Lord, they're free to do whatever. And I heard, if you don't mind, I heard this one. I'm tired of hearing this. Well, you know, we have free choice. I said, well, then let's choose wisely.
Yes, right.
I said, let's choose God and then not worry about the rest of this stuff.
Choose love.
That's good. That's
yeah, that's
good.
Right.
Choose love.
Choose love.
Anyway.
Did you have something?
Well, the only thing I was going to say is you was talking
then
about...
Mike, you're next.
You was talking about the cell phone thing. We changed carriers not too long ago.
That's what we did.
And we were there for 5 hours, too.
No, you weren't.
Oh, gosh, I thought we were the only ones.
We changed to Boost from Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
And the people at Verizon would not cooperate. That's why we
That's what happened to us.
They don't want you to leave and not release our phone number. All right.
The phone was locked. They would not unlock our phone.
Well, this lady had tremendous patience. And we stood there for 5 hours. And that changed over to that other carrier. And, you know, we had to do all, I think we had to somehow make sure that they knew that we agreed for them to do this and all
that.
And they had
to
port the phone.
And they kept doing all kind of stuff. And I was thinking, if I was that lady, I'd probably be pulling my hair out about that. Because for 5 hours, she kept going back and forth with Verizon trying to get them to actually do this, you know, to give them the ability
to
transfer all of our stuff into
right
there.
To release it, yeah.
And that must be a pretty common thing. They fight
against it. I didn't know it was common. I thought it should only take a half an hour and you're out
the
door.
Okay, well, listen, that was part of it. The main problem was really the person that was incompetent. I mean,
but it was Verizon, too.
Right, but it was mainly this individual and everybody that worked with
us. The lady we had was really good. I mean, she was very patient, and she kept saying, they will not give me the number that I need to make this transfer. And she kept going back and forth, and they'd send her to somebody else, and send her to somebody else, and they just kept messing her around.
Yeah.
And see, I had called Verizon before that, to be honest with you, and I had told them they were raising my rates way up,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have movie channels, I didn't have a lot of stuff, and it was getting really ridiculous.
Right.
And I called them and I said, I've been with you for 20-something years, never been late on a payment.
That's what I did.
I said, you mean you can't give me a better deal than this? Well, no. I said, but you'll give a new customer that comes
in a
better deal than this.
It will.
And then you won't do that to someone who's been loyal to you? I said, well, my loyalty to you is no longer here. I said, I'm going to close that account and go to somebody else. Amen. I mean, I wasn't hollering at him or nothing. I just told him like it was.
Okay, hey, Oscar, real quick, because I know you want to get going, but let me just tell you this. I'm standing in the T-Mobile store, and I'm calling Verizon, and I said, you know, we've been there forever, blah, blah. I said, I'm in the store. We are about ready to make the switch, but I told my husband I want to call you guys, see if there's anything you'll do. I'm in the store. Nothing. Wouldn't do anything. Offered maybe $20. But this is the kicker.
Yeah.
When it got all ported over and we were canceled with Verizon, I get an email saying, if you come back to Verizon, you have a $450 bill credit waiting.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
After we already left.
Well, why not yesterday? Anyway.
Okay.
Mike, they're all doing that kind of stuff.
So. They're all
doing it.
T-Mobile bought Boost, so I'm with T-Mobile, too.
Okay,
so
we got the same coverage.
Yeah, same kind of coverage.
Mike, did you have something?
Well, what I was going to say is it's the everyday stuff that requires your patience.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
It is.
And I've gotten into habit. I mean, like, I've got one right now in my car. I've got a droopy sun visor. You drive down the road and all of a sudden it plop, down here it comes.
That's like the personal
block your view, man.
So now I've got it jury rigged. I got it wired up.
Well, as that's all.
Buddy knows what that means. Until I take it off and figure out what I got to do to fix it. But for me, you know, that's the patience. You know, you're going, Lord, geez, that's going to stop.
Clyde had
but what I've been doing, and I've been doing it for a while, and if it starts to really get to me, I'll just say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me here? And you know what? As soon as I do that, then I don't think about
peace.
It.
Peace, yeah.
It's
yeah.
done.
You know that scripture that says tribulation works patience.
Yeah, we're getting to that.
Okay. I was just going to say, when you get enough patience after a while, the tribulation won't be tribulation.
Yeah, that's the whole point I wanted to bring out.
Oh, okay. Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's no, good. No, that's sorry. A confirmation. No. The whole point I wanted to bring out is if you're in heavenly places, if the higher you get, you know, I gave that example. If y'all remember that, I was on the 15th floor of the Chiquita building on Fifth Street, and then the opening day parade would come down Fifth Street.
Yes.
If I went down on the curb, my vision was very limited. I'm going to cut the story real short. But when I got on the 15th floor, oh my gosh, I could see not the whole parade, but I could see from all there, the P&G, all the way down to the Fountain Square. My vision changed. Guess what? Things got smaller. So when things seem insurmountable,
arise.
Go up. Come up here. Because when you come up here and you look at these same problems, they're small. Mm-hmm. Someone wrote a book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
It's all small stuff.
So whenever you, like, this is what I tried to do this week, is just, you know, first of all, calm her down. But try to really get in. I mean, he seated us in heavenly places. If you're seated with him in heavenly places, what problem do you have? What concern do you have? What do you have to worry about? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Absolutely. It all looks tiny down there when you look down from heavenly places. So change your perspective and you will change yourself, your life, because then you'll start saying, ooh, you know, yeah, this is a little inconvenient, but so what? You know, it's small. It's little stuff. Quickly, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Mm-hmm. So if we want to get stuck into the law, he'll let you. He'll let you go back to the law. We don't want to go back to the law. And not only so, but we glory. Woo-hoo! Glory in tribulations.
Yeah.
Glory in tribulations. Well, I got to keep telling myself that. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, like Oscar said. So guess what? You want to avoid some tribulation in your life? Get up here, man. Get up here. Because you're going to look at it, and it's not going to look the same when you're up here as when you're down here in the mully grubs or wherever. And, you know, if it's going to work patience, let's get patience quicker. Let's not have to go through all that tribulation. Let's get patient, and guess what? If the more patient we are, the less tribulation we're going to have. Because like Oscar said, it won't even look like tribulation to us. Yes.
We'll get it quicker if we accept it faster. You ever done something you didn't want to do?
Yeah.
Was it near as bad as once you accepted it and did it? Yeah. I didn't like that. I didn't like the way that tastes. Last week you said taste and see that he's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no way, unless you bite into an apple, you'll know how it tastes.
True.
So a lot of times we got to get bit on. That means we probably got some dogs biting at us or whatever.
Nipping our heels.
But you know what? The Lord said, you know, how are we going to reign with him unless we suffer with him? And that's what it says. I mean, I know suffering's, you know, he said suffering at this moment in time seems so horrible. But then he quotes a woman in childbirth. But once, once that noise is made, kind of push it to the side. It was worth it, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can say that.
Please?
You can say that.
And you can also say that.
Kidney stones were worth it too, I can say that.
You can also say that all things work together for your good. When I find myself in that situation where maybe I'm not feeling very patient about something that isn't going my way, I go, Lord, all things work together for my good. Even the tribulation that comes my way is working together for my good. It's going to bring me patience. What a wonderful fruit to have. The more patience you have, things don't bother you like they used to. Some things that just used to eat away at you don't eat away at you anymore. And yeah, it might be uncomfortable for a time, but guess what? When you're up here, you're going to get through it a lot better than when you're down here in the earthly realm. And so if we stay up in the heavenly realm, that's the best way that we can possibly get through any tribulation that comes our way.
Yeah, in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, says, moreover, let us all be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. Knowing that pressure and afflictions and hardship produces patience and unswerving endurance. And endurance fortifies, develops. Endurance fortified, not fortified, fortitude develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces a habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation.
Amen. Amen. You can't work your way. Remember we talked about do, you got to do, you know, and you just make do.
Mm-hmm.
You can't work. You know, I've got a friend right now, I've known a long time, and I don't know why, but all of a sudden now he wants to get a doctorate in divinity. Okay, if that's where God's brought him to, praise the Lord, that's fine. But man, all you're going to get is whatever that teacher has got to give you. And so I want the teacher to teach me. And if you sit at the foot of Jesus like Mary did, and you just listen, and you listen some more, and you listen some more, you're getting it from the professor. You're not getting it from man. And I'm not saying that it's bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. If that's where God's called you, then go. He He's never called me to go to a seminary or a cemetery or whatever you want to call it.
Seminary. Oh, you're being funny.
Oh, Juliana Blondman.
Cemetery's right.
So
I came close.
Yeah. So, you know, God's tearing down this man-made stuff. You know, He's tearing it down. It's a new day. It's a day of kingdom stuff. It's not church stuff anymore, you know, in the sense of, well, this religion and that religion and a different religion on every street corner, and we've got all the truth, and that stuff, God's tearing it down. Haven't you noticed that lately? There's a lot of churches going down. Have you heard about that? I mean, Roy Ralph's church went down. There's no church there anymore. Who else? Benny Skinner's church, it's down. It's gone.
Yeah, they sold it off.
Yeah, it's gone. Wow. So God's getting rid of that. You can see it, can't you? Can't you see it in the spirit that God's making a move here? And it's that priesthood, you know, kingly priest that He's developing and bringing, calling sons of God. But I think there's sons that maybe aren't called into the priesthood. I don't know. I could be wrong there, and that's okay. If you have a different opinion on that, that's fine. But I think we've invested into, you know, what we're doing here at Wings for a long time, and I believe the reward is coming as kingly priests. I don't believe we're just kings, and I don't believe we're just priests. And we're definitely sons. Right? I mean, everybody in this room's a son. But anyway, I got off on a tangent. Sorry about that.
I know there was a friend of my son's that they ministered at the nursing home for about 5 years, and how God really used them, and they didn't go to the same church or anything, but they were like prayer partners and all. But she ministered at like three other homes in Springfield, and she felt to go get this. It was like a certification or license, I forget what it was in. But when we were praying, God showed it was only because some of these wouldn't accept her
without it.
Yeah. And she just did it to go in God's favor and His, and to minister through her.
And it makes sense for her to do that.
She just did it.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't accept her. Some of them going in, well, what is your... You know, they look at your pedigree, whatever, you know.
Right.
It would mean.
Right.
Here we go.
Well, Hebrews 7 is where you want to study, you know, outside of this class. Really, everyone should get Hebrews 7 and just really study it to you know. But I love this scripture here. The old order of priesthood has been set aside as weak and powerless. Think about that. If you're in the old order, your ministry is weak and powerless. It has nothing to do with how many people are sitting in the pews. You got mega churches that are weak and powerless. And then you got some that have the power. I mean, I'm not saying they're all fit in that category, but it says, for the law has never made anybody perfect. And isn't the law still prevalent in the Christian church today? I mean, think about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been to as many churches as I have, but I've been to quite a few churches, and the law is still there, folks. You can trust me on that one. I haven't been to that many in the last 20 years, but boy, back then it was definitely, I saw the do's and don'ts, and you better do it this way, and whatever. For the law has never made anyone perfect, but in its place is a far better hope, which gives us confidence to experience intimacy with God. If it doesn't point to Jesus, let it go. There's nothing more important than that intimacy with the Lord.
It shows us that which we cannot do.
Yeah, exactly. And if you go up now, I brought a different order here. If you go up to Hebrews 7:12, it says, and furthermore, for God to send a new and different rank of priest meant a new law would have to be instituted even to allow it. What is that new law? what's the new, if there's a new law, if there's something new coming.
Law of love.
Yeah. It's law of Christ Jesus.
Well, it's a law of love. If you function in the love of God, that's a law unto itself. You mm-hmm. don't need any other laws. Because you're gonna treat people good, you're gonna do the things that Jesus did.
Just what we're talking about, yeah. Absolutely. Well, Hebrews 7:28 says the law appointed flawed men as high priests, but God's promise sealed with his oath. God's promised us a bunch of stuff, so we need to receive it and become it, which succeeded the law. When something succeeds the law, it's over and beyond the law. Appoints a perfect son who is complete forever. Now you can say that's Jesus and you'd be 100% right, but you can also say yourself. You can also say yourself. What does it look like? Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. That one word is love, right? It says, even this, Galatians 5:14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you do that, what if you have the biggest son of a gun neighbor you ever met? Guess what? You're showing all the fruits of the Spirit. You've got big fruit hanging off your tree. But Jesus permanently holds his high, I put the word high, it didn't have it in there, but I believe that's the truth, high priestly office, since he lives forever and will never have a successor. He's the high priest, we're the priests. Right? He will never not be the high priest. Okay, he became the high priest. I'm not saying he wasn't before, but he became the high priest when he symbolically went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat. Because only the high priest could do that. So now that he's the high priest, there is no need of any other man being the high priest. I'll skip through this.
Can I say something, Rich?
You sure can, because I'm about done anyway. One more scripture?
This is a scripture that we've been quoting here, and we know that all things work together for good of them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. I really think that scripture should read different than it does.
Okay.
And here's the way I think it should read. Good has an extra O beyond God. And if you read it like this, for we know that all things work together for God.
I like that.
To them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Yeah. I think we ought to knock a zero out of there.
Yeah. Yes. I agree.
Because I'm going to tell you what, they're going to work together for God.
Yes.
To them who love God.
Yep. That's good.
And we got to get away from this good and evil stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh man. We fall so short of that when we get into that. And I mean, I know that's the way the scripture reads, but I'd love to see that zero
because
I think if it was, that would make that scripture much more powerful and much more true, because all things work together for them,
for God,
to them who love God.
Yeah.
And they work for God, because ultimately what we're going to find our true identity is in God. It's not in anything else.
And when we get that revelation that everything that comes our way, I'm not saying God did it. God never puts cancer on people, but he knows it's coming on you.
Oh, yeah.
He knows everything, right? So if we just get that revelation that God, nothing can touch you unless he allows it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, wow, God allows cancer? Well, guess what? If we're going to have a limited perspective, back to perspective again, mm-hmm. on who God is and what our role is in God, then, yeah, we're going to constantly be in turmoil and double-minded about the things of God. Mm-hmm. But You know, we talked about eternity last Sunday. I mean, eternity is eternity. You know, it goes that way and it goes this way, and this little thing called time was dropped in there somewhere, okay? And it's going to go away. And God's going to become all in all. And when he's all in all, there's no time or space. And I want everything that God has for us on the other side now. And he's provided it now, today. And our expectations, our hope, if they're in him, then he's got some pliable clay to throw on the wheel. Like, we'll end with your, do you remember? I know you have so many poems. I don't know if you remember them all.
About the one about the pottery?
Yeah, this will be our prayer to end the, I want, my last scripture was Revelation 5:10, which I think is really important. And he has made us unto our God kings and priests. So there it is right there. And we shall reign on this earth. Sometimes we don't act like we're reigning, do we? We lower our standards, we lower stuff, and our expectation isn't up here. It's like, if I can just get by. Some people say, oh man, if I can just get by until I die, then I'll be in heaven and everything will be great. Well, let me tell you, everything can be great right here today.
And that poem is, the processing of the Lord continues each day as he's working mud into clay. The clay he is forming with his right hand to make it a vessel that will fit into his plan. But after he's placed it upon his wheel and he's twisted and turned and spun with a zeal, and the beauty of the vessel is apparent to see. If you fill it with water, it no longer will be, for the water will cause it to sag and to fall, for the strength of the vessel is not there after all. But the master must lift it with both of his hands to process it farther that it might meet his demands. And into the fiery furnace it must go to be tested and tried, his will he will show. But to strengthen the vessel and cause it to be a vessel of honor and dignity. For the value of the vessel is not the vessel at all, but what is contained by the strength of its wall.
Amen. Amen.
And that's where that tribulation comes in, that works patience, because the tribulation is the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's trying to do, the fire in your life, is burn out the impart nature.
Yes.
Yes, Jesus.
Because that vessel, until it goes into the fire, into the furnace, it's an impart vessel. It's a duality vessel. It's clay and water mixed. And what does he take out? He doesn't take the clay out.
Nope.
He takes the water out. And what's he do? He takes the water out so that he can fill it to the brim with himself.
That's so good. Yeah. That is so good. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.